Text for the sermon this morning is Psalm 84, and then in particular the verses 5, 6, and 7. I will read those verses once more. Psalm 84, starting at verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Thus far our text. In response to this sermon, we'll sing these words with Psalm 84, the stanzas 3 and 4. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, we sang hymn 13. Those are the words of Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord who is enthroned on high is the everlasting God? He made both earth and sky, the majesty, the power, the glory of our God. But then also the hymn ended with that beautiful statement that they who trust in him, they will not falter nor grow faint as they in faith walk on. They will not falter nor grow faint as they in faith walk on. Wonderful promises for travelers, for sojourners, for pilgrims. Well, the hymn also indicates that there can be difficulties on the journey. So difficult that even youths, of whom you think that they have the strength and the vigor and they don't get tired, they even may grow weary and they may fall, and young men may strive in vain. So the journey can be very difficult. But yet they regain their strength. In fact, they go from strength to strength. How is that possible? How can you say that you will not falter or grow faint? Well, that is because of faith, as they in faith walk on. And what is that faith? It is not something that I have to figure out in myself how good I am, how strong I am, how persistent I am. No, it is to know that God is the everlasting God. Don't you know that? That's how the passage begins. And travelers need to know this, how they can go on without faltering or growing faint. And we sang these words because our text is also about traveling. It speaks about highways, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, it says, verse 5. So it is a travel, but not just any travel. It's not just a travel you do for a pleasure, leisurely drive. It's not a travel you do because you want to go somewhere for work. It is a travel you do because you want to go to Zion. That's what it says, the highways to Zion. And Zion is, of course, Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. And that's why this is really about pilgrimage, about pilgrims who have to progress as they travel from home to Zion. That's a beautiful image, very simple image, and also an image that speaks to all of us, doesn't it? Are we not pilgrims? Just think about the people of Israel as they had been redeemed from Egypt and they had to travel through the wilderness. They were pilgrims on the way to the promised land.
That's what we are too.
Delivered. As we heard this morning when the Ten Commandments were read, I have set you free. You're on a journey. And that journey is a most amazing journey because it is not a journey that you have discovered in your own strength, or the path is not paved by your accomplishments, but it is a path paved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how the journey of the Israelites began too, passing through blood that was on the door. And so we too are traveling to the new Jerusalem, the new paradise. But we all know too, it's not always an easy travel. There are unexpected bumps in the road, the twists and turns that we didn't expect. So how can we progress as pilgrims? And the answer is in our text. The call is here to progress by faith. And that's then also the theme for the sermon this morning. The Lord comes to us, pilgrims, and he tells us that we have to progress. And we can only progress by faith. We'll look at three things. First, see how this pilgrimage begins, where it starts. Then we'll see how it progresses and the challenges that come in the pilgrimage. And then thirdly, we look at the destination of this pilgrimage. So the beginning, the challenges, and the destination. As I said, Psalm 84 is a psalm about a journey, and a very special journey. It is to Zion. That's why it is called a pilgrimage, because a pilgrimage is a journey that you make to a very special or a holy place. Why would the Israelites go to Zion? Well, that's what a temple was. And the authors of this psalm, the sons of Korah, were Levites. And to them, the temple was very dear. And so they made this song for the people of Israel, because not all the people of Israel could live in the temple. They had their own places all over the country. But three times in the year, they all had to gather in Jerusalem. Three times per year, the Israelite had to leave his home, had to leave his farm, had to leave his business, and travel to Jerusalem. And it was for the Feast of Passover, to remember that the Lord had delivered his people from bondage to Egypt. So the beginning, the source of their existence as God's people, the Passover feast. The second feast they had to observe was the Feast of Tabernacles, or booths. That was the feast in which they lived in those huts made with leaves of branches. And that was a feast in which they remembered the journey through the wilderness, how the Lord had provided for them all those years in the wilderness and helped them through all the challenges. And the third feast was Pentecost. And that was for Israel, also called the Feast of Weeks, and that was the harvest feast. The first fruits you will bring to the tabernacle or to the temple, and you say, here, Lord, this is for you. In a way, you celebrated the destination that you had arrived at, and you showed the gifts that the God gave to them. So those three feasts, the Passover, the Tabernacles, Pentecost, or Weeks, or Harvest, they had to go to Jerusalem. Well, that was not a thing you did just over in one day, as if you could leave early in the morning and you could come home again at night, because there were no cars, there were no other fast-moving means of transportation. You had to walk. And maybe you had an animal that you could ride. But just imagine, think about it. If you had to leave your home, your farm, your business, travel to Jerusalem, celebrate there, come back again, that required planning. You want to make sure that your work in the farm or your work at home is planned according to these feasts, because you knew by that time you had to be going to Jerusalem. And doing this required dedication to travel. It was not always easy on foot. So that is what this psalm is about. When it speaks here about these highways to Zion, then you can think about these feasts, and they had to go there to celebrate with all the others. When it says here, highways, do not think of our highways. Paved with lines. A highway didn't exist in those days as we know them. But it is called a highway because it means this is the main route from your place to Zion. And this route is important to you because you're traveling there. But there's something here that needs our attention, because if you look at verse 5, where do you find these highways? If you have a map and you want to look up your highway, how you have to travel, where are these highways? Look at verse 5. In whose heart are the highways to Zion? Highways in your heart. Highways are things that you drive on to go from place A to place B. Notice the text, they have to be in your heart. Highways to Zion, and when you have them, then you are blessed. So what does that mean? And how do I know whether in my heart there are these highways? Well, let's start with that word heart. And in the Bible, the word heart points to your central, your core being. It's like your operating system. A computer needs an operating system in order to do something. If you want to press a key, then the computer knows what to do because there's an operating system working in the computer. Well, so is your heart, your operating system. It makes you do what you do. We do a lot of things every day. We say a lot of words every day. We make decisions every day. And what governs your words, your thoughts, your actions, that's your heart. So that is you as you do things, and why you do them, and how you do them. That is the heart in the Bible. That's what the Bible also speaks about. With all my heart, I love the Lord. Well, in that heart, so where my decisions are made, there have to be the highways to Zion. And that means that this traveling to Zion has to have my full attention and involves my whole person, everything I do. My heart is to be in it. It determines what I decide, where I live, what I do, and how I do it. And it also makes me excited. My life is focused on it. When you travel, and you travel a certain route more than once, you see the landmarks. Just when you go on holidays, your favorite holiday spot, and you leave home, and you travel, and you know, yes, when this place comes by, we know we're getting closer. And when you see this, yes, we get closer again. And it makes you more excited because you know what is coming. And so also these pilgrims, they were traveling every year, three times a year, but they knew we're coming closer. And it made them excited. They are joyful. And that determines what they do and how they do it. Now, why is that so important? Why should I have these highways in my heart? because of what Zion is all about. Zion is a very special place because that's where the temple is. And that's where the Lord dwells in his glory among his people. That's where you go with your sacrifices and you bring your offerings to God and you can return home again with his blessing. Zion is the place where God and men have fellowship. They come face to face, you could say. And that is why it is so special. And the psalm brings this out in verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. The most almighty God has a dwelling place on earth where we may come to him and speak to him. And that's why he longs for it. Verse 2, my soul longs, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. They're out to, and their joy is to be there. Can't wait. It's like, are we there already? How long yet? That's how much they long. It's even in verse 3, the author is jealous of the birds that make a home in the temple, the sparrow and the swallow, where they build a nest. And they can be all the time there. They can fly in and out and rear their little ones right there where the Lord dwells. That makes it so special who God is as the living God. And that's why I saw in verse 10. The psalm says, one day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness, because God is a sun and a shield. And he is the one who gives salvation, blessing, atonement. You see, this is why that journey is so special. And this is why these highways are to be in our hearts. I said Psalm 84 is about a pilgrimage, about a journey. And this is where it begins. The start is in your heart. That you long to be where God dwells. And that you let that determine what you do and how you do it. How you arrange your family. How you do your work. Then you're blessed. Do you have these highways in your heart? Is how are we to deal with this? We're not going to Jerusalem, are we? We're not going to Zion. Why not? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled the temple. Remember that when he died, the curtain tore? And he ascended to heaven. In a way, he took the tabernacle, the temple, with him to the real temple by the throne of God. And that's where he is, interceding for us, watching over us, providing for us. So you could say that to have the highways to Zion in our hearts means that we seek Christ in all that we do. As Paul says in Colossians 3, seek the things that are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. And let it determine what you do and how you do it. Does it? Does that determine what you do? How you speak about your work? How you live as a family? And are you excited about that? That you may serve him in all that you do. But there's more here. For not only did Christ go up and we have to lift up our heads, hearts to him, but he also comes to you. There's two-way traffic between Christ and us. We seek him, but he seeks you. And how does he do that? By his word and spirit. He called you here this morning to be with you so that he could give you his word, his blessing. He dwells among us through his Holy Spirit. Have we not celebrated Pentecost? We meet him here in person. So to have the highways to Zion in our hearts also mean that we long to be where he is each day, but especially on the Sunday, when it is his love to come to you, to speak to you, and to meet you in person. And that is the focus of your whole week. That's why Psalm 122, remember, it says, "How glad I was when they said to me, 'Let us go.'" I can't wait. And let that be also our joy and our excitement, that we can't wait to be here. And if this is not the case, then you have to examine yourself. And you have to start from, who is God in my life? So that is the beginning. And that leads us to the second part, because this beginning gives strength for the journey. "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." And then verse 6, "As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools." The journey isn't always easy. There are surprises, the trials. So how do you progress as a pilgrim? Verse 6 speaks about a valley of Baca. Now, we do not know where this valley is. There's no place in the Bible that we know was called that way. That's why also there were differences in translation. Some translated as the valley of the balsam trees. Others say it's a valley of weeping. But what is clear, though, from our text here, is that it is not an easy place, because it is a place where there is drought, where there is thirst. And because the contrast is made that as they go through this valley, they make it a place of springs. So that means in itself it is a dry, hot place. And the early rain covers it with pools. That means it brings about vegetation. So the valley of Baca here stands for the trials that we can meet on the road, that the journey can be difficult, that it can be hardships. But to the pilgrim, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, and whose strength is in the Lord, it says, it becomes a place of springs. It's lush. It's vegetation. Now, look at verse 6 again. Look at verse 6 when it says, "As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs." Who are the they who make it a place of springs? That is the pilgrim. They make that barren place a lush oasis. Doesn't that sound strange? Isn't it the Lord's doing? Is he not the one who makes what is difficult into something I can carry? Oh yes, that is true. It is the Lord's doing. Because in verse 5 already, we say, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you." But yet in verse 6, as they go through this valley, it says they make it a place of springs. They make it. And those words, brothers and sisters, speak about faith. Faith that deals with the challenges that you meet. You see, when you believe that God is the one who guides, that doesn't mean suddenly all your problems are gone, as if you will never have any challenges and anxieties. No, they stay. But for you who find your strength in the Lord, you deal with them by faith. You make them into places of springs. So that is the activity of faith. And what is faith? As I said in the beginning, it's not drawing something from inside of you. It is to hold on to who God is as they in faith walk on, hymn 13. So the text indicates, yes, there will be challenges on your journey. And these challenges will not suddenly mysteriously be gone when you put your trust in Him. But you learn to deal with them. They do not paralyze you. They do not overpower you. Because you look at them in the light of who God is, as the eternal God. You look at them in the light of the promises that He has made to you, that He has said to you, I will adopt you and make you my own. I will avert all evil or turn it to your benefit. Promise, baptism. And when you hold on to that promise, then you make it indeed a place of springs. That is faith at work. Faith that is His gift through His Spirit by His Word. And then you go, verse 7, from strength to strength. That's a beautiful expression. It points to the daily reality. Because it is not so that once you have accepted something in your life, you're set to go for the rest of your life. No. The next day it comes back again. Walking by faith doesn't mean that suddenly everything is solved in one day and you never have any questions anymore. It is every day again going back to what God has promised. From strength to strength. That's what it expresses. It's each day we need it. Because as James, the apostle or the author of the letter to James says, each day has enough of its own trouble. So each day again, I have to go back to what God has promised to me. And make sure that His highways to Zion are there. Because each day, He reassures me. For each day, His mercy is new. That's what He promised to you. And He holds to His promises. He can do more than we can even imagine. So how do we deal with the challenges that come our way? We look at them in the light of who God is, as the everlasting God and as our faithful Father. And we hold on to these promises, then we make them into places of springs. Then through them too we grow in faith, in trust, in dedication. And so our God, in His amazing love, can build us up by breaking us down. That is the power of His love in us. And that brings to our third point, the destination. There is a clear destination. This journey is not going in circles endlessly. Verse 7, the last part, they go from strength to strength. Each day, each one appears before God in Zion. Each one. So we all come together and we travel together, but also individually, each one will appear before God in Zion. The Israelites, they traveled usually two in groups, and then they came in Jerusalem, each one. And so here too. We appear before God in Zion. And we sang about it with Psalm 27. how desirous we are to view the beauty of our God. One thing have I asked, that's what I long for, to be where God is also. And that is the longing that we have, the destination that we have. Yes, as pilgrims, we are en route. Oh yes, we meet our Lord every Lord's Day and He comes to us in His Word, but it is not the end result. It is not the final destination. He is every week leading us further and further to the promised land. And that is what we read about in Revelation 21, when He will come and dwell with us. The dwelling of God will be with man. And He will present us before Him without spot and wrinkle through the work of the Holy Spirit. For isn't that what the Spirit promised to you when you were baptized? That He will present you without spot and wrinkle before the throne of God. Oh yes, when we die, we go to be with the Lord. We appear before Him, but it will be only as souls. The ultimate destination is when He will come and live with us, and we in the body, glorified, will dwell with Him. That is our destination, brothers and sisters. We are pilgrims, indeed. And that also means that you cannot live in this world as if this world is the final destination. As if this life is the end. We do not belong to this world because we are pilgrims. And what pilgrims have to do is travel and travel and travel. But they do it with joy, with confidence. Brothers and sisters, do you recognize the joy of Psalm 84 in your life? I asked, are these highways in your hearts? And do you show it to your children? That is a joy for you to come to church? And that we have to keep focused on what we have coming toward us? Do we help our children as little pilgrims to progress by faith? And that comes out in how you speak about the Lord and the service of the Lord. What is important to you and the destination that you have in your life? Can your children or your grandchildren see in you that you have a clear destination in your life? Paul, in Romans 8, you know the well-known chapter, when he says that this suffering of this present time is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. Paul is not saying forget about the suffering of this life as if it is nothing. No, it is real. But he says compare it to what God has prepared for you, the glory. Then the current suffering pales compared to that. In fact, our Lord, leading us through these valleys of Baca, is preparing us for that eternity. He is shaping each one of us through also the trials that you meet in life so that we will be the people that He wants to live with for all eternity. People who find their strength in Him, who go in His strength and power. Brothers and sisters, next week you hope to celebrate the Lord's Supper. At the supper, you get a foretaste of that future, and therefore eat and drink with that in mind. Hold up your heads, progress by faith, because in life and in death you're not your own, but you belong to Him. Amen.